So one of the things that happens is that, you know, where you've got these multiple plaintiffs are involved in the case, all have an interest in trying to get some portion of the limits, often they'll work together. And there may even be agreements that, for example, if there is an offer made for policy limits for the first policy of multiple policies, that they're going to target that for one set of plaintiffs, but all of the plaintiffs will share in that recovery. Now, the concern with the sharing and allocation agreements with multiple claimants represented by multiple different lawyers where they're all working together and sort of sharing is at some point you got to realize, I mean, if part of these claims settle and part of them go to trial, you may have a Mary Carter type situation. It's not a pure Mary Carter, but you've got sort of this falsehood that party A settled with the defendant, but they actually retain an interest in whatever party B is able to recover against the plaintiffs. And so that, I think, raises all sorts of policy concerns. And I know that there, you know, certainly are a lot of folks who like to dig into whether there is an agreement so they know exactly who and what they're dealing with and how the money is going to be shared. From a policyholder perspective, it's different from the plaintiffs. You know, policyholders, the insured just wants to get all of it resolved within the limits if it can. And that's a different perspective from the plaintiffs who may be trying to work the system, so to speak, with different carriers to get different impact and to encourage piecemeal settlement that ultimately results in a full settlement. So multiple claimants, that's our Soriano situation. And the court there said, I think it's important to know what the court said was not addressing. And what it was not addressing was a situation with simultaneous Stowers demands. In other words, if Mr. Lopez and Mr. Medina had both made Stowers demand at the same time, we don't know if the same result would apply. Because the court said, we're not addressing that situation. What they addressed was a situation where their discussions with Mr. Medina and or the Medina group were very clear. Medina's like, I'm never going to take less than the limits, and I want to know whether this guy has the assets before I make a decision and make an offer. In the meantime, Lopez indicates a willingness, and he makes a demand to settle, and settles for literally 25% of the limits. Well, Medina refused to participate in any settlement for the remaining three quarters, tried the case, got a multi-billion dollar result. And so then the lawsuit is brought against the insurer for basically wrongful settlement. And in that case, the court said that the insurance company was permitted to enter into a reasonable settlement with one of the several claimants, even though that settlement was going to exhaust the limits and leave no money available for one of the other claimants, or it was going to severely reduce that amount. And the basis for that is it promotes settlement, encourages prompt offers from the claimants. Of course, we know the tension with early settlement offers is the defense lawyers and the insurance companies are always going to say, well, we haven't had the opportunity to do our investigation. We need to do more investigation. You know, it's too early in the case. There's a little bit of tension between what the court was looking at as the policy and what the reality is in terms of what's going on. What this really does is it does encourage a race to the courthouse or a race to make the settlement offer. And it hurts policyholders, I think, because the carriers under the Soriano rules, the carriers had no obligation whatsoever to consider the interests of the policyholder from a bigger picture standpoint. In other words, for example, if you've got a situation where you've got, you know, two carloads of people, you know, who are potentially hurt, the insured, your policyholder, has an interest in trying to get everything resolved within limits. And so if they see the insurance company paying what they believe to be too much for one of the claims and not, or paying all of the limits for one of the claims and leaving them exposed, they want to have some play in that. They want the insurance company who sells themselves as the expert in litigation management and in handling the defense, and they take complete control of the defense. They want them to have some degree of responsibility for how those dollars are marshaled and how they're used. What Soriano says, at least on the face of it, is that the only thing that gets to be looked at by the jury in the later Soriano case or modified Stowers case under Soriano, the only thing they get to look at is whether the settlement that was actually entered into, whether it was reasonable. Just those facts, the blinders. I mean, we call those the Soriano blinders, so to speak. You only get to look at that. You don't get to look at the bigger picture. So if they go and settle, you know, for example, what's essentially like a bystander claim, very limited injury, and they spend all the limits on that claim. It's $1 million limits. They settle it for that and leave you exposed to three wrongful death cases. That's a problem for the policyholder. But again, under the Soriano blinders, so to speak, the fact that the unsettled claims, and this is an exact quote right out of the policy, the fact the unsettled claims were more serious than the settled claims is not evidence that the settled claim was unreasonable. Now, Brent Cooper, in an article that is cited in your paper, posits, and he wrote this while he was involved in the Pride Transportation case on behalf of the named insured there who had everything was settled out on behalf of.